A good Erev Shabbos. We stand here, Erev Shabbos Kodesh, Parshas Mishpatim. And Parshas Mishpatim is the Parsha that talks about everything. Parsha that talks about all mitzvahs between man and his fellow friend, everything. What's fascinating is the Torah chooses the most irrelevant, abstract halachas to start with. Halachas that at first glance never happen really. And what is that? It's the halachas of if there is a man who steals and he can't afford to pay back and he has no family that's going to bail him out. In such a situation, he gets sold as an eved, as a servant. The chances of that happening are so minuscule, are so remote. There's so many things that have to go wrong for that to happen. Why is it that we choose to begin the parasha with such a really remote topic? And the answer is, there's a lesson in this for all of us. And a very important lesson. And the lesson is, this fellow went ahead and he did something. He stole. And at this point, he feels extremely bad. He's extremely broken with himself. He feels like a loser. He let his family down. He embarrassed everyone who knows him. And now he goes in to work for someone. And halacha is that we make the hosts do everything possible to build this person that back up. Because there is nothing that ruins a person more than him feeling like a bad person and feeling like a loser. So the Torah says, what do we do with this person who stole? He's vulnerable. A person like this is the most vulnerable. What do? We take him into our home, into our houses. And in front of our children, in front of our wife, in front of our children, what do? We treat him like a king. The halacha is you have to give him, if there's only one hot meal, he gets it. If there's only one pillow, he gets it. And what happens to a person who felt like such a nothing, and now he gets treated like a something, he will stop what he's doing. He will not go back to his silly behavior. Why? Because he was empowered by being treated with respect. And the Torah HaKdoshah opens up Parshas Mishpatim with all the laws between man and man, all the interpersonal halachas. And the introduction to it all is, you want to, someone is doing something bad. Someone is bullying someone. Someone is stealing. Someone is insulting someone. Before you explode, remember, there's a lack of self-esteem. There's a lack of self-respect here. There's something driving him to act like an animal. Why would a person act this way? Why would a person steal knowing that he's going to embarrass everyone because he doesn't care anymore what he looks like or what he's perceived like? This is the introduction to all the interpersonal halachas of damages and borrowing and lending. Understand that if someone is acting in a certain way, in an embarrassing way, there's something wrong. There's something deeper. And with this introduction, you can understand the most, perhaps, difficult question on this whole parasha. After 6 years, the halacha is this servant must go free, as no Jew should ever be a servant to anyone but HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So after 6 years is the maximum, you have to go free. And guess what happens? If after 6 years, the person says, I want to remain here. I want to stay here. we do something really interesting. We take him and we drill his ear. We drill his ear. And we say, you who heard at Har Sinai that Hashem says you should be my servants and my people, and you went ahead and hired yourself different masters, you get punished. Now, I want you to understand, this is 6 years after he bought him and sold himself as a servant. Or, you should have heard that you shouldn't have stole. Why did you steal? You get drilled. Can I ask everyone an obvious question? Why is it that after 6 years, then we punish you and say, why did you steal? Why did you become a servant to someone else? What took 6 years? Why don't you punish him right away? And I beg you to listen to this deep and powerful answer that could really impact your life. The fact that he tripped and he stole and he did something stupid, that's fine. But now we put you into a situation to build you up, to change the perspective of yourself. And now it's 6 years later where you are built up. You were put on a pedestal. You were treated with respect. And now 6 years later, we want to free you from being a servant. And what do you say? I'm fine with my current situation. I don't care to remain a slave. I don't care to remain a servant. I don't care to remain a thief. I don't want to go back home to my family. I want to be that guy that stole. Now we punish you. Because the fact that someone falls, that's not a reason to punish someone. You trip up, you fall, no problem. We put you into a rehab situation. Now after 6 years, this is what you still want for yourself? You want this empty life of being subservient to other people, not to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where your time is not your own? Now you get punished. Not when you do the Aveira, but when you don't allow yourself to reinfuse yourself with that positivity and that vigor and that step in your walk. How many of us trip up? And that's fine. We think badly about ourselves. That's fine. The problem is when you stay there and instead of taking an opportunity to start to learn with someone, to hang around the right people and pull yourself out of your rut, you choose to stay comfortable. I'm okay where I am. I don't need anything else. Now we punish you for what you did 6 years ago. Because that deserves punishment. Because that you can't do. That is the greatest source of destruction in human and personal growth today. When people make a mistake, I do this all the time. You talk to a bacher, you talk to a young person, a young couple, made a mistake, and the person writes themselves off. Rachman al-Itzlan, I'm done. That, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I punish for. So if you stole, nothing. We treat you like a king. 6 years later, after being treated and put on a pedestal, now you still say, I'm fine, I don't need anything, now you get punished. We have to realize how this is the greatest, greatest, greatest challenge and obstacle in our lives. We don't see ourselves in that positive. I want to share with you an incredible, incredible story. There was a great tzaddik, great rabbi many years ago called the Chayza of Lublin. And one of his chassidim was a very wealthy man. And, you know, today wealthy people, they fly up to space. They have all sorts of desires that they'd like to have. That, you know, you want to hear his taiva? He wanted to see Eliyahu HaNavi. This rich man said, I want to see Eliyahu HaNavi. Okay. I guess he wanted to feel spiritual. So he figured, if he'll see Eliyahu HaNavi. He goes over to the Heilige Chayza of Lublin and he says, Rabbi, I want to see the Elio. And he tells, he says, Rabbi, I know that I'm going to have to, you know, purify myself. I'm going to have to fast. I'm going to have to roll in the snow as the Hasidim used to do and all sorts of painful things. I'm ready to do anything. The Rabbi says, you don't have to do anything. So this is what I want you to do. Go to that and that town and that street is a corner house, a nice decrepit little house. Go there. For Shabbos, you'll see Eliyahu HaNavi. He's so excited. He thought he has to fast for months. He was so relieved. Oh, anyway, he goes excited, packs his stuff up, goes early so he can get there on time to make sure he gets a good seat to see Eliyahu HaNavi. And he knocks on the door. And a little boy, the house was so obvious that poverty reigned in that house. And this little boy opens the door. He made a skinny boy, ripped clothing, obviously didn't eat much. And the boy's there. And he says, your father? He says, yeah. And sure enough, this holy-looking kid comes to the door and he says, can I stay for Shabbos? He goes, of course! Of course, the house didn't know. But he says, there's only one problem. I don't even have food for my family. So I can't, I don't want to lie to you that I'm giving you food. I don't have food for my family. And whatever little I have, I'm giving my children. I don't have food for you. But other than that, you can stay for Shabbos. So this guy tells the poor man, he goes, you have nothing to worry about. I do very well. He runs to the marketplace. He buys a huge fish and a huge chicken and a huge... And he comes home with bags of food. The kids are dancing in joy. Anyway, he actually has a very exalted, uplifting Shabbos. And his Shabbos is over. He was a nice Shabbos, but he didn't see Eliyahu HaNavi. He was devastated. He goes back to the Rebbe and says, Rebbe, I didn't see Eliyahu HaNavi. The Rebbe says, no, you got to go back a second Shabbos. It's okay. But this time he knows better. He doesn't go empty-handed. He buys all the food in his town. Goes with a wagon full of food, pulls up to this house for Shabbos, knocks on the door, and a little kid opens the door a crack, and he looks, and he sees this guy there with all the food. And he bursts into a smile, and he goes running to his father. He says, Tati, you're not going to believe who's by the door. Says who? He says, Eliyahu HaNavi, with a full Shabbos again, full of food. And the father comes running, and all the kids come to see Eliyahu HaNavi. And it hits the man. What the Rebbe told him. He was so busy trying to find Eliyahu HaNavi. And then all he realized was that he did something noble. He went ahead and he wrote, and he was Eliyahu HaNavi. Stop looking everywhere else for so much. Recognize that you yourself can be Eliyahu HaNavi. You yourself can do what Eliyahu HaNavi does. You can bring joy to people's faces. You can smile. When a person does a chet and he feels distant and broken, they write themselves off. It's so tragic. This is the lesson before any interpersonal relationship. The next time someone says something to you, something painful, he does something, he steals something from you, he makes you wait, steals your time, steals your energy, whatever someone does to you, before you explode, remember that person is feeling terrible and down. Before they did it, and for sure now that they did it. And if you want it to stop, it's not going to work by putting them down, and it's not going to work by fighting them. Do what the Torah tells us in the beginning of the parasha. Take this Eved that stole, put him on a pedestal, lift him up, treat him like a king, and he will change. And if he doesn't, we know that we said, we do that whole punishment. This is the chizuk of parashas Mishpatim. Nobody acts bad or inappropriate out of nothing. They do it out of for a reason. But if you want to stop someone, you see someone acting out in shul, in school, wherever it is, stop, say good morning, start treating them like a mensch. And that works. Nothing is more tried and true for shalom bayis. You have shalom bayis. People acting mean to a spouse. No one ever acted mean to a spouse unless there was something bothering them. There was something underlying that bothered them. By putting them down, they'll act worse. They'll act double as bad. But by treating them with respect, whether it's a child or a spouse, whoever it may be, that's how the Torah tells us you stop bad behaviors. This is the lesson and the Musar of Parshas Mishpatim. Have an absolutely incredible Shabbos and a Mavrocher Meshchaydish Ador. And everyone our lives should be filled with much simcha. It was a little bit of a difficult week watching unfortunate situations in Eretz Yisrael with bodies of hostages. It was a terrible, terribly sad day. But we should nechlas Adam Marbim B'simcha. Mech Hashem, we should be Zeicha. That there will be a true simcha with the return of all Yidden, Mech Hashem, to their homes in Eretz Yisrael, Yerushalayim, and HaKadosh. Have a good Shabbos.